This is Chef John Foles welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, and inviting you to join us at the kitchen table for another hour of adventures in food. Each week, we travel from the back roads of Louisiana to the streets of Europe's capitals, delving into food. We talk with chefs, food historians, authors, and producers. We search out current trends, revive forgotten traditions, and naturally, we're going to cook for you. Cooking with herbs gives your dish soul. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, the words made famous in that song. The flavors will make your recipe sing. Join me, Chef John Foles, and Rita Salmon of the Baton Rouge Herb Society as we talk about herbs on Stirring It Up next. But first, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The U.S. Navy has sent a guided missile destroyer to assist in the search for a missing Malaysian Airlines flight. NPR Sam Sanders reports three Americans were on board the flight, which went missing more than 24 hours ago.
The Navy is deploying the USS Pinckney to the southern coast of Vietnam to help search for the plane, which had 239 people on board. The Navy is also sending a P-3C Orion aircraft from Japan. It will help with long-range and radar search. The U.S. vessels will join an international search effort. Malaysia Airlines flight MH370 took off from Kuala Lumpur early Saturday and was bound for Beijing. But the airline says contact was lost. Military planes from Vietnam reported seeing two oil slicks off that country's coast, but they have not yet linked them to the missing plane. In a statement, Malaysia Airlines asked all Malaysians and people around the world to pray for the flight. Sam Sanders, NPR News.
While the standoff in Ukraine continues, the U.S. and other world leaders are continuing to try and de-escalate the crisis. As NPR's Diane Wall reports, Secretary of State John Kerry issued a stern warning to Russia today.
The State Department says Kerry advised his Russian counterpart against continued military escalation and provocation in Ukraine. Kerry also said that steps by Russia to annex Crimea would close any available space to diplomacy. During a phone call, Kerry urged Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov to exercise the utmost restraint. Vacationing in Florida, President Obama spoke to the leaders of France, England, and Italy, and to the heads of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. The White House says all of the leaders reject the planned March 16th secession referendum in Crimea. They call on Russia to pull its forces back to their military bases, and they support the formation of a contact group leading to direct talks between Ukraine and Russia. Diane Waugh, NPR News, Washington.
The nation's largest gathering of conservative activists is coming to a close outside of Washington, D.C. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin are headlining the third and final day of the event. Speaking earlier today, Gingrich had a warning for conservatives heading into the next election cycle.
If our movement is primarily anti-Obama, we will in fact reduce the number of victories we should win this fall. If we spend the next 3 years being primarily anti-Hillary, we will virtually guarantee her election.
The conference also hosted up-and-coming conservatives from across the country. An estimated 750 detainees are on a hunger strike at the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington. The strike began yesterday to protest deportations and conditions at the center. Immigration officials say detainees are being monitored by medical personnel. This is NPR News in Washington. Officials in Utah say a snowmobiler was caught in an avalanche in a national forest east of Salt Lake City. Relatives were able to pull him out of the snow, but medical responders pronounced him dead at the scene. The Utah Avalanche Center says the area was under a moderate to considerable avalanche risk. Egyptian interim president Adli Mansour has issued a new law that will govern upcoming presidential elections. NPR's Leila Fadel reports the step paves the path to the elections, which are expected next month.
Right now, there are no elected leaders in Egypt. There is just an interim government and a president who was appointed by the military, which ousted Islamist President Mohamed Morsi on July 3rd. The law is the next step in the so-called roadmap back to elected leadership. The head of Egypt's military, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, is widely expected to run and has emerged as the most popular political figure in Egypt. Officials close to Sisi say he has been waiting for the law to pass before resigning his post as defense minister and and declaring his intent to run for president. The law sets out the requirements for candidates and makes the decisions of the Electoral Committee unappealable, a stipulation that critics say puts the committee above the law. Now, the next step is to set a date for the elections. Leila Fadel, NPR News, Cairo.
Rebels in eastern Libya say for the first time they're exporting oil. They're saying they're loading oil onto a North Korean flag tanker that docked at Sidra, one of the ports rebels hold. The Libyan government is threatening to attack the tanker. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Y'all, Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to the big studio kitchen. Welcome right here to the table, Michelle. I have a coffee laying out here, and of course, you notice all my little sprouts here you were worried about, but I've been kind of getting them ready. Look how they're popping out of that little cup right there. We're
going to
talk
beautiful.
The whole show today is about these little babies right here I got, huh?
These little babies.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. How you like that, huh?
You be singing all day?
I'm going to be singing all day, y'all. Anyway, here, as I say, welcome to the kitchen table. It's so nice to have all of you here, especially Miss York.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the coffee. I needed that, I'll tell you.
You're welcome.
No problem. Thanks for the coffee. You know, it's so seldom when you ask Michelle, can you get me a cup of coffee? She said, you're talking to me? Me? I'm not me. You're talking to me? Get a cup? Why don't you get me one while you're up? Anyway, I see we're off to a good start today, and I do thanks for the coffee, whoever brought it. Anyway, so Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing pretty doggone good. Salama, what's going on behind the glass wall over here? You know, we're in April already. Oh.
Yeah. April?
Yeah, March the 8th. Can you imagine March the 8th? We're in April already. I tell you.
For some of our listeners, it's March 9th. I'm just saying. For some of our listeners, it may be next year.
Well, whatever. I'm tired thinking about it. Anyway, y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
No, I tell you what, I've been one of those cold, nasty. I tell you, I just hated this past month or so. I really did. I hate. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to get I'm a gardener. You know?
Oh, please.
What do you mean,
look, I'm
please?
Looking over here.
Yeah, you're looking over here. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, nothing fires me up better than to get up early in the morning, go into my greenhouse and check things out as I did today. And, of course, pull these 8 or 9 little cups right here, some of my herbs.
To see. You call them herbs now.
Well, it depends who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
If I'm talking to a country gentleman, I'll say herbs, you know, because I know he knows his business. Talk to just a novice, I'll say herbs, you know, because that way they know what I'm talking about. If I say herbs, they might think I got a friend behind me or something. Anyway, I tell you, I really have been enjoying the new spring weather around here.
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, it truly is a nice change from the past couple of months. For a while there, I thought we were living in Nebraska. I mean, it has been cold. Of course, we're lucky here in the South because usually spring comes early. So winter has passed, and while the northern states, they're still battling it out with
poor,
the snow and cold
people.
And
poor
ice
people.
And sleet. We're starting our gardens.
That's exactly right, as you can see here.
That's right. A friend of mine from up north tells me that their rule of thumb is to not start any plants in the ground until Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, and Papa's Orang always said, Good Friday.
That's it.
Good Friday. Just think of the difference there.
Mm-hmm. You know, up there before Mother's Day, there's still a chance of a cold snap that would kill their little tender plant leans.
Well, I tell you what, I was in the greenhouse today. I protected my melaton sprouts like little babies through the cold winter. And I can tell you, I've been waiting with bated breath to see the signs of the first baby melatons that I'm going to have coming on the vine before too long. Of course, it's got to get through the summer. I have to nurture them all the way through. But I have things under control right now. My fig trees are in. I planted 16 varieties.
You're getting a little bit of a head start, aren't you, a little worried?
I'm anxious. I've already fertilized all the citrus, and, of course, 13 went in the ground, my fertilizer program. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm a gardener. As I say, I'm a farmer. Oh, by the way, when I dropped you off at your house the other day, I noticed your plants on the patio.
The dead ones?
Oh, boy.
All the dead vegetation. My fruit trees took a beating.
I would not call it dead. I'd say call in an archaeologist.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, the winter really did in my trees. I think my second lemon tree has bit the dust. You were talking about melatons, and you did start quite a buzz with all your melaton talk. And between you and Dr. Hill and the Israel Thibodeau melaton, it lives on.
Israel Thibodeau lives on right here with me, I can tell you that.
Hey, are you planting a herb garden here at the office? Because I like having that little stretch of, beautful plants there, smell good. Yeah. You can kind of touch it as you go by.
That's
you can
nice.
Kind of bring that, your scissors out there and snip a few little things. Right.
That tradition was started by Pepe de Mauve.
Yes, it
Pepe
was.
Pepe de Mauve was my yogurt and cheese maker from Bulgaria. She and her husband, Demcho de Mauve. And they moved here, lived here 14, 15 years, and then decided to go back to Bulgaria.
They left us.
Oh, I chained them down for 3 days in a room, but that didn't, they broke loose. Anyway, she loved flowers. She loved plants. She loved herbs.
So
green thumb. I mean, she could grow, as Papa said, she could grow rocks in a field, Anyway, she got me started on making sure that the herb garden was always planted and flowers complemented the herb garden and flowers of the season. And she always encouraged you as you walk through the herb garden to run your hand, as you say, over the top of the basil, over the top of the tarragon.
Or the rosemary.
Rosemary. She was really, really fantastic. So, absolutely, I've got my garden in. Nothing better when cooking than having those fresh herbs that you can walk right out of your door into the garden, snip a few things. And let me tell you what, it makes all the difference. And you do not need rolls to grow great herbs. You can do them in some nice little terracotta pots. And that's the secret to really cooking great food is to have those fresh herbs. Easy to do. It's almost impossible to kill. Well, I can't say impossible to kill an herb, but close. I've seen it done, and I'm looking at somebody. Huh?
Oh. Yeah, but did you see my rosemary?
Your rosemary.
My rosemary's beautiful. It has made it through the winter, and
yours and everybody else's, because you can't kill rosemary.
Apparently not, because it's still there and beautiful. And I was disappointed this past Christmas season because I wanted to get some of those small little rosemary Christmas trees.
Right, right.
I did not see one all season long. Not one.
Come to think of it, I didn't see them either.
I wonder what happened.
I don't know, but you can plant them in pots after Christmas.
That's what I was planning to do because I wanted a rosemary hedge. But anyway. Kitchen gardens, that's been a trend for a few years now, having that little piece of space just outside your door, outside your kitchen door. And like you said, just a little patch of ground with vegetables or herbs growing that you can pick fresh for your recipes. And you don't have to have a big sunny yard. The sunny yard is the one that always throws me off because I love trees. But herbs are a great substitute for veggies. You can plant them, as you said, in pots and planters. And, as we were saying, rosemary does well all year long outside unless it's truly brutal. Now, to me, we've had some brutal winter, but I guess not to the rosemary.
Anyway, y'all, sage is another one of my favorite. You mentioned rosemary, because when you think of the song, that I was singing a minute ago.
Yeah, I remember.
Sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Yeah.
That's really all you need. A little basil can be put in there. Sage, though, is another. I was using sage today, and I got the smell of it on my hands. It's great, of course, for those turkeys and roasted birds. And sage, like rosemary, defines that classic definition of an herb, which says that herbs are plants without woody stems that die after flowering. That's what they call it, right?
Sage, that's what they say about sage?
Yeah, yeah. Sage and your enduring rosemary can be perennials depending on the climate. But yeah, that's what they say, that herb can't grow on a woody stem. Give me a break.
And you had beautiful rosemary hedges at the Olafitz Landing, and I'm talking about trunks.
Oh, yeah, no,
they,
I did. I had you.
They were beautiful. You know, an herb that I hear a lot about more and more is cilantro, leaf of the coriander plant.
Yeah, well cilantro is fantastic because of our Mexican population, Spanish
right.
population, especially Mexicans love cilantro in there. Well, like the chimichurris and the cilantro-based flavors, yeah.
The salsas and the guacamole
right, exactly.
Stir fries. You know, it's a controversial herb because you either love it or you hate it.
What I don't like about things like cilantro is that they look just like the flat leaf parsley on the shelf, and then if you throw it in your spaghetti and meatballs, you're in trouble. You know, so you have
a little bit goes a long way.
Well, the good news is if you start chopping it, you know it's not parsley. Well, there's one herb that doesn't suffer from prejudice, and I would say that it's one of all of our favorite. And of course, in Louisiana, we love basil, or basil as they call it. It produces really enough leaves in the season that you can have enough to get through all of the year with stews and sauces. Love game with basil. And of course, the great news is you can dry it. You can make your own dried leaves. Of course, I have dehydrators. You know, I have one of those round dehydrators. But you can put that.
Yeah,
don't look at me like that. You can put it in the sun and let it dry. Or you can put it, as my mayor used to do, on a pillowcase and let it dry on that linen. You know what
I
mean?
Well, I have to say, you got one of the most beautiful Christmas presents this last year. And I don't know why I'm on Christmas in March. But Sister Deming over at Cypress Springs dried you some herbs out of their garden. I don't remember the herb. What was it, oregano?
Oregano. She gave me
it was beautiful, and what a loving, loving gift
And all I had to do was take the whole thing and put it in this gigantic, you know, these large, I mean, like pillowcase-size Ziploc bags, the real large ones people put stuff in. I could fit it all in there, and I put it on the floor, and I just started to walk on it, and all these dried beer, and the smell of fresh dried oregano leaves is just unbelievable. But the basil, I really love basil. It's one of the great, great herbs. Even the flower of the basil plant is fantastic. Don't throw away those flowers either, because they're really, really good. But I absolutely love basil.
And you know, I tend to associate herbs with seasons too, like basil and sage are sort of warm weather herbs, good in sauces and roasts. And herbs like dill, though, I think of cool foods, summer potato salad, cucumber dishes. And then there are combinations of herbs that have flavorings typical of regional cooking. You know, if you think of herbs de Provence, blend of marjoram, thyme, oregano,
those all grated blended herbs, a bunch of, like we do Creole seasoning. In Provence, they do the Provence seasoning.
Or Italian. Italian seasonings, basil, oregano,
absolutely.
Parsley.
All great to just throw into a good tomato sauce. Well, whatever the season or the region, y'all, I mean, cooking just wouldn't be the same without herbs. They bring all of your dishes to life with those subtle, sometimes strong flavors. Herbs absolutely add a little soul to your dishes. You got to have soul, right, in your cooking. And you heard the song, I'm a Soul Man, right?
You're going to sing that? Are you going to start?
Anyway, y'all, today, Michelle already knows what we're talking about because I have all those little square black pots in front of me with my basil.
You're getting
basil,
dirt all over the table.
No, well, that's good. I know somebody's going to clean it up when they get back with
my
coffee.
I know who won't be cleaning it up. I'm looking at him.
Anyway, y'all, we're going to be right back. We have a great guest who knows a lot about herbs or herbs, and you don't want to miss anything about it because, after all, this is the best cooking show and culture show on radio, but you wouldn't know it from the cutting up we're doing the other day. We need to get cooking. We're going to be back in a minute.
Glide through your weekday mornings at 11 a.m. here on the Medicine Ball Caravan.
Hey.
I'm Cecil Doyle. Mondays through Thursdays, we cruise through a fast-paced hour of sounds, both old and new, as well as keeping you up to date with area music and arts. The Medicine Ball Caravan, 11 to noon weekdays, here on KRVS.
Hi, this is Nick Forster. Every week in E-Town, we bring together musicians from a wide range of styles for some great live performances and conversation. And we also present the Achievement Award to someone doing outstanding work in their communities. It's an hour of uplifting stories and music each week on E-Town.
Tuesday at noon on KRVS.
Our music on the Thistle and Shamrock transcends boundaries, expands horizons, celebrates tradition, stimulates innovation. It's music to bring people together, so why don't you join us?
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
Visit the KRVS website for programming information, live streaming audio, podcasts of locally produced programming, and world news from NPR Digital. It's all at krvs.org. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best-tasting food and culture show on radio. And today we're talking about herbs. And, Michelle, during the big break, it was brought to my attention that you thought I was making a little bit too much racket rubbing my apron right here, that it was coming through on these new high-powered earphones and microphone I have on right here. This is brand new, you know what I mean, huh, Slama?
I say I like it. It adds to the realism of the
you,
show.
Well, and Mariette walked into the studio, and, you know, our research lady there, and she says, your apron is plastic. It's not – people think you wear these really great linen aprons.
Right.
I said – but I'm working with food coloring today.
I'm
having – there's aprons for every reason. So, y'all, that's my plastic apron right there to keep that food coloring from getting on. So I want to clear that up with my listening audience, Michelle. You know what
glad.
I'm talking about?
Now you're going to sit there and be quiet now? We're going to take that apron off?
I'm keeping my apron on. I just want everybody to know this was not the sounds of a hurricane. Anyway, y'all, it's so great to have you with us. And, Michelle, today we're talking about herbs, one of my favorite subjects. And, of course, we have the ultimate expert on the subject. Absolutely, we do. And we appreciate her being here. Why don't you introduce her for us?
Yes, we have Rita Salmon with us today, unit chair for the Baton Rouge chapter of the Herb Society of America. Rita's a Houma, Louisiana native. From a very early age, she was planting vegetables and herbs in the garden with her dad, graduated from LSU, graduated from Loyola, where she earned her degree in dental hygiene. Now, after she got married, Rita and her husband lived for many years in the Middle East.
Oh, man, I bet that was interesting.
I bet it was. And it was in Turkey that she discovered her interest in herbs and their many benefits, and she's been espousing their qualities ever since. Rita has taught and given herb lectures at the Burden Horticultural Society, Ochsner Hospital, Louisiana Medical Society, the Culinary Federation as well, where she created the program for the herbal education classes. True ambassador for the Herb Society, and we are just delighted to have Rita with us on Stirring It Up today. Welcome, Rita.
Thank you very much. Great introduction.
Well, great lady, and you've helped us out in the past as well. It's kind of good to have you back in the family here.
Thank you very much again.
Rita, now, coming from an Italian family, I'll bet you grew up with a great kitchen garden, probably a great vegetable garden as well. Is that where you got your love for growing herbs?
Well, I started very young. My dad, of course, had contests with all of his 12 brothers and sisters who grew the biggest tomato and who grew the biggest vegetables and citrus. And my mom said, anyone who could read can cook. And Italians eat around the table, and when we're eating one meal, we're talking about what we're going to eat for the next meal. So, yes, we grew and cooked.
Now, you went to school to be a dental hygienist, and I'm assuming you probably did that for a while. That's some serious education. But then you kind of switched over to herbologist, if that's the proper term to use. Kind of tell us about that transformation.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call myself an herbologist. I call myself a person who loves herbs. I started studying in conjunction with being a dental hygienist. I was also studying herbs from 1973 in Dubai when I moved over there, and I saw stuff in the market that I had no idea what it was. You know, the fruits, the vegetables, the herbs were all very different. In order to take care of my family, well, my husband then at the time, I went with the local people and learned what to do with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I really did it, and I retired from hygiene a few years back.
Now, Rita, what were some of the discoveries that you made? Everything had to be so new and so exciting, or I guess to look at some of these Middle Eastern markets and walk through them. What were some of the flavors that got your attention quickly there?
Well, one of the big vegetables that I had no idea what it was called mulahiye. We don't have it in the States. One of the growers will grow it for me periodically. But it is a green vegetable. It's mainly from Egypt. And it's one of my daughter's favorite foods. So we can find it dry here, but not, quote, in the marketplace. You know, so it was a very good green vegetable, and we try to eat a lot of vegetables. So that was one of my first finds in the markets because everything was so different. It's not like going in the
grocery store.
Rita, over the past years, there's been such an interest in using herbs in everything from cooking to infusing oils and vinegars. Have you tried your hand at doing some of those kinds of things with herbs?
Definitely, definitely. And the reason this is an uprising is people are getting more interested in their health. And they know that they can take herbs and they can take a piece of chicken and take it around the world with the different types of herbs, the herbs of Mexico, the herbs of France, the herbs of the Middle East, the herbs of China. So you can do so many things with herbs. But Herb Society of America does not recommend putting oils and herbs together and leaving them for any extended period of time. If you're going to mix an oil with an herb, the herb will have some spores and you can get botulism. So we say if you're going to mix it, your oil and your herb, you eat it maximum 3 days in the fridge and then throw it out.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, Michelle and I were talking earlier about, you know, many of herb notes or flavors can be a bit strong. I mean, we talked about things like cilantro. You know, we talk about some of these flavors. Even rosemary, you put too much rosemary in something, it's kind of one of those flavors that for Louisiana palates who are used to the etouffees or the sauce pecans or the gumbos, some of these flavors just don't fit well in the cooking. Do you find that to be true, that people are segmenting herbs and flavors into categories that fit really well here but certainly wouldn't fit well in our typical Louisiana food?
Correct. This happens all the time. And what it is that many people use too much, just like too much salt is not a good thing. Too much rosemary is not a good thing. I have a member who thought she hated rosemary until I told her. I said, you know, whoever cooked that for you used too much. Just a pinch will do it. I had a chef tell me the other day that the ground rosemary that I gave him, he's putting it right up there with truffles.
Oh, because, my gosh.
Yes, yes. He said, I used a pinch, like you told me, in my scrambled eggs. Wow. I used a pinch on fish. So it depends upon the amount. And then with cilantro, this is genetic. People either hate it,
right,
or they love it. You know, and it's a genetic thing, but cilantro is a wonderful, wonderful herb because it helps to remove heavy metals from your body. The research was done that they were testing these people, and then all of a sudden they had all this heavy metals in their fluids, and the doctor could not figure out what the problem was. So he said, "Where did y'all eat today?" He said, "Oh, we went to the Vietnamese restaurant and we ate a lot of cilantro soup." So then they tested cilantro and found out that cilantro will pull mercury and lead and different heavy metals out of your tissues.
Wow.
That was earth-shattering, you know. So I tell people, even if you don't like it, take it as a dose of medicine every now and then. You know?
We're big fans of capers as well. I mean, can you think of chicken piccata without them? There's a page that we were looking through the Herb Society's book, and there's a page dedicated to capers. But, I mean, I never thought of capers as being classified as herbs.
Well, an herb to Herb Society members is any plant that gives us pleasure, whether we're eating it, cooking with it, smelling it, looking at it, or maybe smoking it. Well, mullein is very good for the lungs to smoke. Well, capers is a bush. It's hard to grow here. I've tried to grow it, but it doesn't grow really well here. And the caper thing is the unopened flower bud. So you never usually get to see the flowers on the capers. When we were in Turkey, they were collecting it at one of the places that I visited in huge sacks. And these, you know how little these things are. Yes. And they were putting them in there. And I saw this, and it was a family and all the children out in the field collecting the capers from wildly grown bushes. And in America, capers are usually costly. So you can have what's called the poor man's caper. Are you familiar with the nasturtium flowers?
We are, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the flowers make a seed, and the seed pod of this flower is poor man's capers if you go ahead and brine it. You don't have to put all that money out on capers from, well, they usually come from the Middle East somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, in Turkey, I know they collected a lot of them. So capers are wonderful. They add a little swap to your meal or to whatever you are fixing. That was your chicken piccata.
So, Rita, you must have an herb garden, right? Or
yes.
A vegetable garden?
Yes, I do.
I bet she's got a fantastic herb garden.
I bet she does. What kinds of things do you plant?
Well, I have some very special plants that we have brought in, I personally brought in. One of them is called Chinese wolfberry or goji berries.
Oh, I like those.
Yes. Well, we grow those, and I got mine from Madeline Hill, who was a 50-year member of Earth Society. You know Madeline.
I know Madeline. Yeah, I think I got some of those from her as well. I know I have some. So
when she first gave me hers, I called her. I said, "Madeline, my berries are nowhere as big as the ones I see in the store." And she told me, she says, "Rita, we don't know what they feed them in China." She says, "We aren't there watching them." So I said, "Oh, okay." So we grow that. I've also found out through some Chinese people over here that they use the leaves in tea, and the leaves have a minty flavor. So, you know, if somebody tells me something good to eat, I'm going to try it. You know, so I have that.
You know, we always talk about the must-haves in the kitchen garden, you know, herbs that in Louisiana, we're talking about Louisiana cooks in general right now, Southern cooks. Well, what are some of the must-haves of herbs and flavor in the kitchen garden?
The must-have is garlic chives. This is we call this our essential kitchen herb. It stays green most of the year. It adds a very subtle flavor of garlic, and you can add it to almost anything. It grows like monkey grass, so don't plant monkey grass. Plant an edible. It makes beautiful white flowers in August. How many flowers do we have here in August?
Not too many.
That's right. So that's one of my favorites.
Oh, I love that too. Especially,
that's awesome.
Especially when my gardener's going around with the little weed eater and they hit the edge of them and the garlic just permeates the whole field.
Correct. My other favorite is parsley. And most people say, "Well, I can't grow parsley." I said, because in Louisiana, you don't grow parsley in full sun. Not August sun. You're going to kill it.
Right.
So you have to have a little, you know, I grow mine near my oak tree, and it gets, you know, dappled light, and that way it's not killed off by our very hot August sun. And I love all my greens. I grow a lot of greens, and I eat weeds. You know, Chef, that I studied with Jane Dunn.
That's right. I know you are a forager. That's exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Oh, my God, I miss Jane. I should be talking to her more often.
Oh, no.
Well, I talk to her pretty regularly. She was 98 on December the 30th.
98. I cannot believe.
And that's going to be her last birthday. She says she will keep being 98 because it's a nice year.
It's amazing when you talk to our good friend Jane Dunn, who actually I have a garden at my White Oak Plantation named the Jane Dunn Garden. I think you were there when we planted her tree, and which still, by the way, I protect her magnolia tree, which she called Madame. And, I just love Jane, but she really got us all started on foraging. I guess to the novice out there and the person really thinking about herbs, my main question is the simple one that everybody asks about when recipes call for herbs and the use of fresh and dried. As simple as that is to the experts or chefs in the kitchen, what do you tell the passerby about the answer to that question, fresh to dried herbs?
Okay, whenever you're doing fresh to dried, it's 1 to 3. Remember, when you dry an herb, it becomes more concentrated. The volatile oils become more. So it would be 1 teaspoon, tablespoon, cup, whatever you're using, of dry to 3 of fresh, because you need more volume to equal that concentrated dry. So just remember 1 to 3.
1 to 3, that's great to remember, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rita, among the many things that you do related to herbs, you teach classes using food as medicine, which is fascinating. How do the herbs figure into this?
Well, all the time I have studied, most of the plants have some type of value for health. We have not discovered every health value of every plant, but they are discovering some. One of the new research going on is on turmeric and Alzheimer's. And what they found out is that in India, there's not as much Alzheimer's as we have here. Well, they use a lot of turmeric. And they've done research here at Pennington Biomedical Research in Baton Rouge. And what they found out, that the turmeric helps to keep the covering of the nerves intact. And it doesn't go splitting off and drying up and going around like that some. The doctors at Pennington come and teach at our meetings. We have our meetings once a month over at Burton. The next meeting will be March 27th, and it'll be all about Burton this time and what Burton is.
Right, right.
And the last time we had one of the doctors from Pennington, they talked about ginger. And ginger is highly anti-inflammatory. So if you have arthritis, he said, he told us to eat ginger. So I said, you know, ginger's kind of potent. How am I going to go about eating this stuff? So what I did was I put it in my blender with water, and I made like a liquid of the ginger. If I'm having soup, I put a spoon of this in it, because when you cook it, you lose the nutritional benefit and the medicinal benefit. But if you eat it raw, well, how can you eat raw ginger? It is too potent. So we keep it when we eat. If I'm having soup, we put it in there. I'm making a stir fry when I bring it to the table.
Just drizzle it in, right?
Drizzle it. Wow. That's it.
Wow.
And it helps with arthritis.
I love that. Those are great things for us to remember, and I do hope that some folks will attend some of the Herb Society meetings. Are they normally once a month, Rita?
They're once a month, and they can go to our website. It is BR for Baton Rouge Herbs, herbs.com. And if they forget that, just tell them to search for Baton Rouge and herbs, and we will come up.
You'll come up right away. Well, Rita, thank you all so much for the great work that y'all do, and of course, thank you for all the great gift of conversation we've had over the years, and just the memory of Jane Dunn that you just brought up. I'm going to call Jane after this just to let her know that you and I won the radio show together. And y'all, we will have all of the information about the Baton Rouge chapter of the Herb Society of America on our website as well. And please do yourself a great joy and go sit in if you're a gardener looking for information or a novice who's just trying to figure it all out. No better place than right there with Rita in the group in Baton Rouge. So we'll put all of that information on the site. Thank you so much, Rita, for being with us.
Thank you, Chef, for helping us to promote herbs for use and delight. That's our mission.
Well, thank you so much. And y'all, we're going to be back in just a second.
I want to see you at high noon. Noontime, Thursdays on KRVS 88.7. For rock, roll, rhythm, it's Old Gold on KRVS, an hour on Thursdays at noontime. Isley Kleinpeter with an invite to join me Thursdays at noon on KRVS 88.7 for Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, Elvis, Carl Perkins, even Dolly Parton.
I love winter. The cold, the ice, the hot toddies, and Afropop winter dance parties. It's time to get off the couch and shake your booty. That's next time on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Hi, this is Bill Bowens from The Dirty Rice Show, inviting you to join either Mr. Lee Kleinpeter or myself every Saturday night from 8:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. for Dirty Rice right here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, Public Radio for Acadiana.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at krvs.org.
The perfect shade of blue. I'm a nuisance, a gnat. A phone call that can wait. I'm a speck, a dot. The parsley on your plate.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Starring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, and it's so wonderful to have our good friend Rita with us. She's president at Society in Baton Rouge, and of course, we've always had a good association with that group over there, haven't we?
Absolutely. I mean, we haven't done anything with them in a few years, but we know each other's there.
Yeah, we know each other's there, and they call upon us when needed. So what about books on the subject? We always like to try to enhance our listener to pick up a book or two on the topic of our show to enhance their library. So what do you have?
Well, I was trying to look up turmeric in this book because she really caught my attention with that. I mean, as an Alzheimer's, you know, I'm hoping it helps memory because I've been forgetting stuff. But the first book I'd like to suggest is the newest book by the Herb Society entitled Essential Guide to Growing and Cooking with Herbs. It was written by Catherine Schlosser. It's an education with recipes, so a great combination. Catherine takes us from A to Z in the herb and edible plant world. With each plant, she discusses the origins, growth patterns, culinary uses, and the medicinal qualities of the herb. Her recipes are interesting, a little bit of a different twist, like putting dill in your stuffed cabbage, or even like Rita was saying about adding a little bit of ginger. Or she puts rosemary and cranberry nut bars as well.
Just that little pinch, she said.
Yeah, just a little pinch. There's another book by the Herb Society of America that I want to recommend as well. It's The New Encyclopedia of Herbs and Their Uses, The Definitive Guide to the Identification, Cultivation, and Use of Herbs. This was written by Denny Brown. 150 pages of photographs and identification of herbs. This book very well could be the definitive herb resource. If you don't have any other book in your library, I would suggest this one. The author, a gardener and botanist herself, kind of takes you through the history of herbs, their uses from ancient times. I've been doing a little reading on that as we're working on the vegetable book. Fascinating. Very interesting. Also contains information on how to plan and build an herb garden. Whether you're a student, a teacher, a gardener, a cook, a hobbyist, professional, it's a must-have resource for your herb gardens and for your library.
And that's the new encyclopedia of herbs and their uses, the definitive guide to the identification, cultivation, and use. That's a great book.
Absolutely.
Really great book. So, yeah, give me one for my birthday. Yeah, give me another one. Both of these, of course, will be on our website. And, of course, Salama, what about our Facebook page? What about our Facebook? Facebook.com/StirringItUpRadio, STIRRIN. Anything happening on that? Anybody asking us questions?
Our Facebook is always popping. It's always happening. Yeah. We have a nice little conversation going on out there. We have a Carrie Morgan saying, we should do a show on homemade wine or muscadine wine. Just saying. Good show interest.
I like that. We could do a little experiment and make our own.
Try
take
it in
a little
the studio.
Sip,
yeah.
A little taste test. A little beverage. I like that.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. We encourage our stovehounds to come on to our Facebook page and give us great ideas for shows to do in the future.
What else? Anybody else? What about the president of the club? I mean, is he...
Hubble.
Has he done
popping
anything?
Popping by. He's a big fan of our weekly podcast. You know, we put these shows after they broadcast onto the website, and usually we announce that on our Facebook page. So if you don't want to go clicking through our Jay Foles website, you can always just check us out on Facebook, and we'll let you know.
We've been loading up a lot of stuff on there, that's for sure. And, of course, my buddy David. David's asking about us giving him a recipe for orange wine. Of course, in Plaquemine Parish, you know, where Ruth Fertel, the founder of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, Ruth Fertel, she came from a little place called Happy Jack.
Happy Jack
was in Plaquemine Parish, where the orange and citrus growers are. And her family made orange wine, and I have one of the original bottles that they did in Happy Jack, Louisiana, orange wine. I got to get Hubble a recipe for that orange wine.
I do orange
ratifia, which is an infused wine, so an infused liqueur, I should say.
We're always posting pictures up there on the Facebook. We had the Melitons a little while back.
Yeah, the Israel Thibodeaux are coming along really well.
And then we probably got some pig pictures coming up.
Well, I don't have any pig, but my chickens are doing really well. And I have to tell you that I let my two French guineas out last week to go out. You know, the French guineas were
let them out for what?
Well, so they could go
stroll
around
the
yard.
Neighborhood? Yep.
And the French guineas were the watchdogs of the plantations. They'd fly up in the trees at night, and then if there was intruders, they would just go crazy yakking and screaming up in the trees.
But weren't they also the ones that would run out in the rain and drown by holding their head up?
Well, I have a couple of employees who did that last week. Anyway, I got
to
tell you
guineas.
Yeah, I got to tell you what happened to my guineas. I decided to leave them out because
left them out?
Well, you saw the turkeys, right? You saw the turkeys coming around. I have three.
Well, yeah, but they're huge.
Yeah, well, the turkeys came around. They started walking around, and we started feeding them, and the turkeys got acclimated, and they love it.
These are sister's turkeys.
They moved to our place because sister and them wasn't giving them corn. Sister and them were giving them leftover cucumber peels. And I started giving them crack. Yeah, I told sister that the other day. Sister said, what happened to my turkeys? They all living over at your place. I said, it's all about crack corn, sister.
I was at the convent one day, and we were sitting there, and they have that open area in the back, and there was this, I looked and it kind of startled me, this big old turkey just looking in the window like, hey, Michelle, what you doing here?
Yeah.
Well, what happened was I let the French guineas out, two of them, because they were giving the chickens a run for it. You know, every time I fed the chickens, the guineas would kind of hold court. You know?
Naturally,
so I said, what, we're going to get these guineas.
The two of them on the 30?
That's right. Yeah. Well, first of all, the way they look kind of scared the chickens. You know? So anyway, I let them out of the pen, and they started to walk around with the turkeys, and it was quite a view to see out the chicken yard, and then in the fig orchard, here was these three gigantic, beautiful bourbon red turkeys, and the huge turkeys, and I let the guineas, they ran around for 2 days, and this morning I went, early this morning I went to get coffee at White Oak Farm, and kind of walking around the back with my cup of coffee, and I ran into the garden, and I said, there's the turkeys. Where's the French guineas? And he looked at me, says, good question. I said, what happened? He said,
I don't know, but I'm not giving great promise here. He says, I saw a couple of black and white feathers on the ground, which leads me to believe that maybe there's been a fox around here or something.
Well, sister swears that she's seen a bobcat back there.
Yeah, and... well, anyway, y'all, getting back to the big show, that's all of this stuff is on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook.com, and that's a start.
Tell us your wild animal stories.
Yeah, that's exactly. Anyway, since we're talking about herbs, I've marinated crab claws. Mm. Herb-encrusted salmon salad.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
Chicken and Creole tomato pomodori.
Speaking of pomodori, have you talked to John Arena?
No, but he's hunting me down.
He's hunting you down.
He's my buddy in Canada. He's in Toronto. He's snowed in. And he really needs to talk to me because he's kind of getting this snow blindness, you know.
Hey, I guess he is. Remember the one day it iced over here and you were driving on it?
Oh, yeah, I was driving.
You couldn't stay in for 10 minutes.
Yeah, good thing I had my chains I got when I was in Canada. So what do y'all want? Y'all want the chicken and Creole tomato pomodoro, or do y'all want the herb-encrusted salmon salad, or are you looking for the marinated crab claws? Which one do y'all want over there? I'm here for the picking.
No, I'm leaning towards those crab claws.
Yeah. Michelle, what are you leaning towards?
I was leaning toward the salmon, but I'm good with crab claws, too. I like that.
You like crab claws, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see.
Are you leaning toward?
Well, the crab claws are pretty interesting, and the fact that I'm going to load up all three of these recipes on the website, anybody who wants the salmon salad or the Creole tomato and chicken pomodoro can go there and get them.
That's right.
So you want the marinated crab claws?
Sure.
Well, we're talking about the claws of the blue crab, the beautiful blue Punchatrine crab here in Louisiana. So beautiful. And of course, those crabs find their way into a lot of recipes. And of course, one of the things I like about the crab claws, you can marinate them, and this kind of preserves them for a short time to be able to save them over a week or so, putting them in that vinegar and oil. Anyway, my recipe is kind of simple, and you can buy the clean crab claws at almost any seafood place or big box store. However, if you're having crab boils in the South, as we do so often, you can certainly pull those crab claws and crack them, because then they're going to have all that good boiled seafood flavor in them already. You with me?
Mm, yeah.
But even in the stores, they boil in a little salt water and then crack, and it makes it real easy. You want to get those big plump ones too. I love those crab claws. Anyway, I use a pound of crab claws to begin with, right? They're peeled, so half of the meat is all sticking out, right? You with me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
You're grinning like as if I'm going to make some of this for you.
I was hoping you would.
No, well, it won't happen. I'll have a pound here.
You're eating the whole pound.
Y'all, I'm going to take that pound of crab claws, and I'm going to set them off to the side right there, and in a nice ceramic bowl, I'm going to put a half a cup of extra virgin olive oil, that great olive oil. I'm going to put a half a cup of water. I'm going to put a fourth of a cup of good red wine vinegar. So now I have my liquid. You know, I have my olive oil, that half cup. And good olive oil, you know, there's all kind of choices of olive oil in the store. It's not always the price. You want to look at acidity, right? You want to make sure that olive oil has less than 1% acidity for that extra virgin. Just because it says extra virgin doesn't mean it's going to be good. You want to make sure it's low acid oil, and it's always listed on the bottle. 1% or less is real extra virgin olive oil. So I take that half a cup of olive oil, that half a cup of water, that fourth of a cup of red wine vinegar, and 1 tablespoon of lemon juice. You see all the acid going in here?
Yeah.
The lemon juice and the red wine and all of that. And olive oil, of course, will cut that. Into that, I'm going to put 1/4 cup minced garlic.
Maybe you did some garlic chives.
Good garlic is, you know, you got to have some nice garlic in there. And what you're hearing me make here is basically a marinade, right? And a marinade can be defined as any liquid that has an oil base to it and herbs and spices, where the oil becomes the carrier of the flavor onto meat, seafood, fish, or whatever. So basically, even though this is becoming a sauce that I'm making, it's actually a marinade to marinate the crab claws.
So it's dual purpose. You marinate the crab claws, but you can marinate
fish.
What, some other fish or chicken?
No, of course, chicken, absolutely. So bringing you back to ground zero here, that half a cup of olive oil, a half a cup of water, fourth of a cup of red wine vinegar, and that tablespoon of good lemon juice. You're mixing all that together. Then that 1/4 cup, or in my case, about a half cup of minced fresh garlic. Do you have one of those little tools that you put the clove of garlic in and you press it through and it just squeezes it all out? I have a couple, yeah.
You have a couple. You have one to spare.
I don't want one to spare, but I keep it in case I break the handle of the one I have. I'm not giving
You've
it.
Got three.
Anyway, I would just go ahead and press that garlic through that masher. 1 teaspoon of horseradish.
Makes you want to sneeze just saying it, huh?
Now you have that nice peppery flavor of the horseradish going in there with the garlic. 1/4 cup sliced green onions. 1/4 cup chopped parsley. You with me?
Yeah.
Now that's the greens going in. Michelle, I'm going to put 3 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce.
I love Worcestershire.
Oh.
Love it. In fact, I'd probably put 6 tablespoons.
Well, you can put 6 tablespoons.
Because I love it.
Well, you have your olive oil, your vinegars, and of course, your citrus, your lemon juice. You have your garlic, your horseradish, your parsley and green onions. Now you're going to start to put your flavors in. You have that 3 tablespoons, or 6 in your case, of Worcestershire sauce. Now, of course, you're whisking this all the time. The oil acts as an emulsion. So as you whisk it, it's kind of coming together in the bowl. The olive oil and the garlic are kind of mixing together with the horseradish, giving it that great flavor. And then your herbs are coming in. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
1 tablespoon of fresh chopped thyme leaves. I would put lemon thyme because there's a lot of different thymes you can buy in the store. I love lemon thyme, variegated thyme. It has that little yellow stripe in it, and you can buy lemon thyme. I love that with fish. So 1 tablespoon of fresh chopped thyme. 1 tablespoon of really fresh minced basilico, basil leaves. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Yes.
And, Michelle, even in basil, you have so many different choices. You have the mammoth basil. You have the ruffle basil, that purple basil, that cinnamon basil. I would put purple basil in here because you have all its green going on. Put a little purple in there, and it's just going to add to the visual. You can even throw in a little curveball here and add 1 tablespoon of fresh minced tarragon. Tarragon's beautiful with seafood.
Oh,
seafood,
yeah.
Or chicken, I love tarragon. You could throw it in. Then, of course, a little salt and pepper will go in there right at that. And even 1 or 2 little shakes of a Louisiana hot sauce. Now, remember, hot sauce is vinegar and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Vinegar and pepper and salt. So you want to be careful as you've shaken it in there that you're not adding more pepper than you want. You're not adding more vinegar than you want. You're certainly not adding more salt than you want because that's what's in that. So then you take your whisk and you whisk all of that together and you pour that over that pound of crab claws and you stir it around good. Coat it well. I will not eat this until tomorrow. Put it in the refrigerator, cover tightly with clear wrap. Let all of that just sit. All you got to do is shake the bowl every now and then. Just kind of get that oil on it. And Michelle, tomorrow, lock the kitchen door, please. This is my pound of crab meat.
Mm-hmm. But we have a fighting chance, Llama. He's not eating them till tomorrow.
24 hours.
Yeah.
24 hours. So if y'all get them at 18, you got a good batch. Anyway, y'all, the recipe along with all the rest I'm on the website. We thank Rita for being with us today. We thank all of you for joining us as we cut up about cooking in the kitchen.
You know what I want to remind everybody? What? The production of Evangeline is going on LSU Union Theater next week. So tickets are still available, but they are going fast.
Y'all, Evangeline, the play about the Acadian people coming to Louisiana from Nova Scotia, and Evangeline search for her fiancé, Gabrielle, on stage, one of the greatest musicals you will ever see on Cajun culture.
March 15th, LSU Union Theater.
We'll be there. It's going to be an unbelievable production. Anyway, thank y'all all so much. Go to that Facebook page, .com/StirringItUpRadio, and send us your thoughts about what you would like to hear. Be careful out there and go plant an herb garden. You have plenty of time.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Mitchell-Worley, host of Bill Street Caravan. Join me each week for live performances from blues clubs and festivals around the world. We'll also have feature host segments that give you the stories behind the music. That's Bill Street Caravan, Saturday nights at 11 p.m. here on KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Join me for a musical journey spanning time and place, from classical to contemporary, Celtic to jazz, from Ireland to Mexico and everywhere in between. That's Harpistry, a diverse hour of music of the harp, Mondays at noon and Sundays at midnight, right here on KRVS.
This is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.